Next presentation will actually be co-presented by Destiny Lopez at Planned Parenthood and Jesse Ford at CDC. Destiny is Director of Latino Engagement for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. She also oversees the GYT campaign for PPFA, working with health centers and youth programs to promote GYT year-round. She has more than a decade of experience in strategic communications and policy advocacy, including her service as the Executive Director of Access Women's Health Justice, a grassroots reproductive justice organization in Oakland, California, as Account Director at Fenton Communications in San Francisco, as Vice President of Programs at NARAL Pro-Choice New York, and as a strategic policy and communications consultant to reproductive rights organizations throughout the country. She is the Vice Chair of the Board of Directors of the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health and the Treasurer of Board of Directors at Asian Communities for Reproductive Justice. Destiny earned an MPA from New York University and a BS from Georgetown University, and we're really excited that she's recently joined the GYT team from PPFA. I'll also introduce Jesse since I'm up here and rambling. But Jesse is an ORISE fellow at CDC in the National Center for HIV, Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention, where she's involved in several sexual health initiatives, including GYT. Prior to her work at CDC, Jesse worked for the NIH, doing a fellowship in perinatal epidemiology, and at the U.S. CDC in Beijing, providing technical assistance to the Chinese Ministry of Health under the Director of Health Communication. Jesse has a BA in community health from Brown University, she's like, what? And an MSc in public health from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and she's been a huge asset to the CDC GYT team in the last few months since she's arrived. They're going to be presenting on the on-the-ground efforts, both from Planned Parenthood's perspective and CDC's partners. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm really excited to be here on behalf of Planned Parenthood Federation of America and our affiliates nationwide. I'm going to spend my first couple slides really just doing some context setting about who we are as a healthcare provider, as well as our role engaging youth around the country, and a little bit of political context. I'm going to be talking specifically about our GYT efforts in 2011, and we had some political battles happening that I think impacted our ability to raise awareness through GYT, so I'll talk a little bit about that. So for nearly a century, Planned Parenthood has been the nation's leading sexual and reproductive health care provider and advocate. Our health centers and international partners provide contraception, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, life-saving cancer screenings, and abortion care to millions of people in the U.S. and 10 other countries. We have a presence in all 50 states and Washington, D.C., with 79 affiliates who operate nearly 800 health centers across the country. One in five women has visited in the U.S. has visited a Planned Parenthood health center during her lifetime. Our websites, which include PlannedParenthood.org and Planned Parenthood en Español, receive at least 33 million visits a year. 76% of the patients who come to our health centers across the country live with incomes of 150% of the federal poverty level or less, and which is the equivalent, as most folks know, of about $33,000 a year for a family of four. Every year, our affiliates provide more than 4 million tests and treatments for sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. And obviously, we're also an advocate. We engage in educational and electoral activity, including legislative advocacy, voter education, and grassroots organizing to promote the Planned Parenthood mission. Wanting to talk a little bit about our role in creating the healthiest generation in this country, specifically our work with youth. We have 127 what we call VOX chapters. They're really campus organizing groups across the country. Our affiliated campus groups across the country organize events to raise public awareness about reproductive rights. They educate young people in their campus about sexual health. They work with and support the local Planned Parenthood health centers, and they mobilize advocates for reproductive freedom. In addition, we have peer education programs across the country that reach more than 1.1 million people. 81% of our peer education program participants are 14 to 24 years old, and they provide comprehensive sex education programs that are delivered by young people, for young people, at, among other locations, schools, social service agencies, religious institutions, and juvenile detention centers. And then going back to our website, our Info for Teens section of our PlannedParenthood.org website receives 1.2 million visits annually. So in 2011, Planned Parenthood worked on the GYT campaign at the same time that we invested much of our energy and resources in efforts to combat proposed federal and state legislation to undermine women's health and rights, as well as bar Planned Parenthood from providing family planning and preventive health services through Medicaid and other public health coverage programs. So despite the challenges we faced, an impressive amount of GYT campaign activity took place in April. Of course, the GYT campaign is a major support for our brand and our reputation, which were under assault in Congress during the first 4 months of 2011. So defunding efforts both threatened our capacity to provide health care while simultaneously raising our profile. So in total, during these first 4 months of 2011 leading up to GYT, we added more than 850,000 new supporters. 49% of these new supporters were 18 to 35 years old. 21% were non-white. In mid-February, polls showed that 53% of voters opposed defunding Planned Parenthood, and by mid-April, that number increased to 65%. 68% of those who opposed defunding were under 35, and 60% were 18 to 49-year-old women. And I share all that really to just exemplify that the heightened support and awareness was further amplified during our April GYT campaign. So we were able to reach more people because we just had kind of a spotlight directly on us. And GYT, I think it's a reciprocal relationship between GYT and its ability to also improve our brand. So GYT has two primary purposes for Planned Parenthood. One is to provide our over 800 health centers with a proactive media campaign that encourages STD testing and treatment, while also promoting our health centers as the place to go to receive basic healthcare services. It also provides our youth programs, again, specifically our teen peer education programs and our college outreach or VOX programs, with on-the-ground outreach, marketing, and GYT promotional materials. So our 2011 GYT campaign energized our youth volunteers to get the word out about the importance of getting tested for STIs. Peer education, or high school age groups, and our VOX college programs held 240 events total, engaging 1,250 youth volunteers and reaching over 67,000 people with GYT messages and materials. For Planned Parenthood, online and offline actions are inextricably linked, so I also want to quickly just share our Facebook and Twitter results. In 2011, we created 9 GYT posts on both our main Planned Parenthood Action Center page as well as our Latinos for Planned Parenthood page, which is a bilingual bicultural page. On average, each of our GYT posts was seen 124,000 times, and a fifth of the viewers responded with comments or quote-unquote likes. We also generated over 200 retweets at our 2 Twitter properties in April, and that doesn't really count the many people who quoted our tweets without attributing the content to us. And if folks are more interested in that data, I can talk with you after the panel. So after each campaign, our youth programs fill out an evaluation survey that allows us both to measure our impact through the number of events held, the number of volunteers engaged, and the people reached with GYT messaging and materials, while also capturing anecdotal evidence of the campaign's value. So I just want to share a couple of slides, and as you can see, my slides are less data-driven and more picture-driven, where we like to show the youth in action. So want to show these next couple of slides to share a snapshot of these efforts taken directly from affiliate evaluation forms. So in Texas, the Planned Parenthood Association of Hidalgo County conducted campus outreach at the University of Texas Pan America in the Rio Grande Valley, which is really near the border of Mexico. So from their evaluation form, they said, through the second annual Protect Your Eggs event, Vox volunteers at UTPA passed out 380 plastic eggs filled with a GYT sticker, condom, and a slip of paper with the date and information for free STD testing taking place on campus. Also on the paper was information on how to contact Planned Parenthood. Volunteers explained the importance of getting tested, pointing out that untreated STDs could lead to infertility, hence protect your eggs. Afterwards, members hung up laminated GYT posters throughout campus promoting the upcoming free testing day. And that is on your left are the UTPA students getting ready for their event. The Virginia League for Planned Parenthood conducted campus outreach by hosting a GYT day, offering free urine tests for chlamydia and gonorrhea and blood tests for syphilis and HIV, available to all Mary Washington students for 8 hours in our health center. We advertised the event by tabling and at the campus wellness fair. And then just a couple more examples. Planned Parenthood of Middle and East Tennessee, their peer education program, which is called the PG-13 Players, performed for a group of high school teens in Nashville called the Black Achievers. Prior to the performance, they passed around the hot pink GYT stickers, and audience members put the stickers on their shirts, jeans, wherever. We promised to explain what the sticker meant later. During the discussion of our skit, we told the participants that April was GYT month and that is what their stickers were about. We discussed the importance of getting tested, the challenges that teens face in seeking testing, and then we role-played some conversations around testing and talking to your provider. We asked all the teens to pledge that they would discuss their sticker with at least one person throughout the day. And then Planned Parenthood of Southern New Jersey's peer education outreach program called Teens on Track provided educational sessions for a small high school in the Camden City School District. The session was about knowing your status, talking to your partner, and getting tested. It included a roundtable discussion about talking to your partner about their sexual history, as well as a viewing of the Scenarios USA movie Reflections. After the sessions, we offered free testing to the students during their lunch periods, and out of the 50 students who participated in the educational sessions, 20 were tested. So you can envision more and more events like this happening across the country, over 240 events last year, on campuses, in high schools, and community spaces. And this is just the Planned Parenthood effort, and obviously we'll hear more about the CDC effort, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other efforts that we're not going to capture today. The last two pieces I just want to quickly share about Planned Parenthood's role in GYT on the ground is, one, I think it was mentioned earlier, the Take Action Concert Tour. Planned Parenthood Hudson Peconic, which is in New York State, donated its mobile testing unit to four of the cities on that tour to promote testing and distribute vouchers that could be redeemed for free tests at local health centers. The van visited Philadelphia, Baltimore, San Antonio, and Chicago, and in each city, staff and partners distributed vouchers for HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia tests, along with branded t-shirts, stickers, and buttons. Between Philadelphia and Baltimore alone, they distributed 166 HIV vouchers and 155 coupons for discount chlamydia and gonorrhea testing. They also distributed 500 buttons, 6,000 stickers, and thousands of condoms, because people love swag. Finally, and again, I should give a big shout out to MTV, who's not here today, but part of their real contribution to the infrastructure of our on-the-ground efforts is the provision to us each year of DVDs of their programs. The top 10 outrageous sex myths was what they provided last year. We develop a discussion guide for our affiliates to use on campuses and in high school settings. And really, we hear from our affiliates over and over again that those are really key tools in the effort to get young people talking about what can sometimes be taboo or scary or difficult conversations around STIs, testing, treatment, talking to your partner, you name it. So I want to thank MTV, CDC, Kaiser Family Foundation for their partnership and this amazing opportunity to engage Planned Parenthood youth across the country in a dynamic, multifaceted campaign. And I want to now turn it over to Jesse from the CDC to talk about their on-the-ground efforts. Thank you.
Hello. This afternoon, I'm going to cover the GYT on-the-ground efforts in college and university campuses, as well as local areas. So there have been two main efforts to evaluate GYT in college and university settings. The first is through working with the ACHA, the American College Health Association. Starting in 2009, the GYT partnership started working with ACHA to implement GYT across the country. In an effort to assess the impact of GYT, in 2009, we added two questions about the GYT campaign participation to ACHA's annual PAP and STI survey. These questions remained on the 2010 survey, and an additional question was added assessing whether schools saw an increase in testing during April 2010. Compared to 2009, in 2010, there was a 62% increase in participation in the GYT campaign. Of those colleges participating in GYT, 34% saw an increase in testing rates during April, compared to only 16% of schools who did not participate in GYT. The second main effort to evaluate GYT in college settings is through working with 12 geographically dispersed ACHA institutions that volunteered to assess the impact of GYT on campus by submitting their chlamydia testing data for April, including the number of tests, the number of positives, and implementing a short survey to patients presenting at school clinics. Optional data included providing gonorrhea and HIV testing numbers, comparison month data, and qualitative feedback. The evaluation was done with no funding other than providing these 12 institutions with extra kits. Thus, we are extremely appreciative of their enthusiasm and support of GYT. So in looking at the survey from these 12 schools, the survey sample included a mix of private and public four-year institutions spread across rural, suburban, and urban settings with student body sizes ranging from 10,000 to more than 20,000. For the purpose of these analyses, the sample was limited to students ages 18 to 25. 66% were female, 32% were male, and almost 2% identified as transgendered. The sample was racially and ethnically diverse, and most students identified as heterosexual, with 12% identifying as LGBTQ. Findings presented in this slide demonstrate a positive impact of the campaign. 48% of respondents were first-time testers. If a student had sought STI testing, their odds of having heard of GYT were almost twice the odds of those students not seeking testing. Among survey respondents who had heard of GYT, 63% responded that they were influenced by GYT to get tested, and 35% reported discussing sexual health issues as a result of the campaign. Many students had seen or heard of GYT through print media and posters, including posters and flyers, followed by electronic media, campus outreach events, friends or word of mouth, and student health services. So among the 12 institutions submitting their survey data, chlamydia positivity averaged at 3.6%, ranging from 0 to 7.2%, with higher positivity in males. Gonorrhea positivity ranged from 0 to 4.9%, averaging at 0.4%. I'll highlight that. Good. Not all colleges submitted male and female testing data, so gender data is not as strong as the overall positivity numbers. All colleges submitting comparison data from a previous month or year reported an increase in testing during the month of April. Increases in chlamydia testing compared to the previous month or year ranged from 2% to up to 316%. Over half of the institutions submitting comparison data reported an increase in chlamydia cases detected, which leads us to think that not just the worried well are getting tested. Although these data are only from 1 month in the year, the best benchmark data to compare these data to are ACHA's annual Pap test and STI survey data, and they are about par for the course. The ACHA 2010 annual survey revealed a 3.4% chlamydia positivity. Another method of comparison is with CDC's infertility prevention project. In order to remain an IPP prevention site, sites must maintain at least 3% positivity, which comes from a study that found that chlamydia screening was cost-effective at 3.1% prevalence. Half of the institutions participating in this evaluation exceeded this benchmark. The college evaluation will be conducted again this April, and 15 institutions have already volunteered to participate. So along with the college evaluation data, in 2011, CDC also aimed to expand the reach of the GYT campaign in local areas. To do this, CDC awarded funding through an existing contract with FHI 360. Up to $20,000 was awarded to 9 sites to adapt and implement their own local GYT efforts in their own communities and to use GYT to promote chlamydia and STD screening. When awarding funding, we tried to select sites that were not only geographically diverse, but also, as shown in the slide, but also slides that represented a diversity of settings, including urban and rural communities, schools, clinics, colleges, and CBOs. We tried to support sites that proposed different strategies, such as electronic testing, health education, and various forms of advertising. Sites had different strengths. For example, some sites were able to conduct formative and/or message testing research, and others were not. Some sites were already doing social marketing, and thus our grants allowed them to expand and improve what they were doing. We also tried to select sites that targeted diverse audiences. In particular, we wanted to reach girls at high risk for STDs, including African American, Latina, and Native American youth. We funded the sites from January 1st through September 30th, 2011, and sites were required at a minimum to promote the GYT campaign in April 2011. So here are some examples of the various locally developed activities. As you can see, sites were quite creative, and a real range of activities and types of products were developed and used to market the campaign. Activities varied across sites, ranging from a MyGYT phone app to mobile testing, counseling services, radio shows, different events such as pool parties, to more standard advertising through print ads in college and local newspapers, outdoor ads on buses, bus shelters, and billboards, and online ads on organization websites and dating websites, as well as ads in movie theaters. Products which were particularly popular included the GYT keychains, the GYT cell phone charms, and stickers. The M&M bags with GYT stickers on them were quite popular as well. However, slight differences in some locations arose with students' willingness to associate themselves with an STD testing campaign. Finally, local efforts were evaluated based on campaign reach and chlamydia testing and positivity rates. So here are some examples of some of the products developed and adapted at different sites. The pool party basketball tournament on the bottom right is from DC. The bottom poster with the black background is from Kentucky. The top right from UCSF. The charm, that's a cell phone charm, and the pink poster is from Planned Parenthood in New Jersey. And the I Want the Kit campaign was based out of Johns Hopkins. So as we can see, this was in many ways a successful activity in that it allowed some programs to expand their GYT testing efforts and engage some communities that otherwise might not have been able to implement local GYT campaigns. So now let's look at the data. This evaluation data on chlamydia testing and positivity is preliminary, and we're still working with the sites to get complete data. However, what is noteworthy here is that the preliminary data in nearly every site shows an increase in chlamydia testing observed in 2011 compared to 2010. Some sites, such as Metro Teenage, Hopkins, and the University of Missouri, more than doubled the number of individuals tested. In nearly half the sites, the number of cases detected in 2011 was higher than 2010. Thus, on the chart, although the positivity rate appears to decrease, this often has more to do with an increase in numbers screened, creating a larger denominator in 2011. The positivity rate does, however, remain well over the 3.1% cost-effectiveness mark for all sites who have reported positivity. Overall, the data do indicate an increase in screening rates. Nearly 10,000 individuals were tested for chlamydia during the implementation period of 2011 campaign activities. We are working on a final report that we will be looking to share with the field. Finally, although CDC unfortunately was not able to offer new funding this year to support local implementation, we are still available to offer assistance to those who are looking for guidance or technical support, and the GYT materials are still available for local adaptation. Finally, we'd like to acknowledge a few people who were essential in collecting this data, as well as the ACHA institutions and the 9 sites who adapted and implemented the campaign. From these 9 sites, we'd also like to thank Mary Jett Cohen, Charlotte Gatos, Dwayne Brown, Susan Flynn, Taylor Ewing, Beth Brown, who've gone out of their way in recent weeks to help us get complete data. Finally, April is STD Awareness Month. It's time to GYT.